If my sermon was as short as that introduction, then you may love me more. It is so good to see everyone tonight. And what wonderful singing we've had every night. And I'm grateful to Gavin and to Brother Melvin and Brother John for selecting these songs that we have somewhat focused on in our thoughts each time. And how I wish that I could go to each person's and each family's home and sit down with you and talk with you as a brother in Christ, reminisce about the times that we've known for those years that I was here, and thank you for the encouragement that you've given me. You see, in the audience are those that we worked in camp with, those that we worked in gospel meetings with, and those that we worked in all sorts of labors. And we thank you. And I understand that it was rainy tonight. And I understand the traffic is not getting easier. And you have driven tonight to come and to be with us to study. The focus and the theme of our lesson has been, are you living the way you are living that you would be prepared to meet Jesus if you died tonight? The way you're living right now and this day so far, would you be ready to take your life before Him in whom all things are? In Him who gives us life and the power to move and our very being, and will judge us according to the way we live. That's going to happen. We just don't know when. There are some certainties. We've touched on some of them. We are going to die. It is appointed to men once to die. And then cometh judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. When Jesus comes again and awakes the dead to receive us, will you be ready to go to Him? Will you be excited and with smiles if and when He comes, should you be living, would you run to meet Him as you ran to greet me tonight for the purpose of meeting our Savior? I understand that we cannot compare Him to a human being. But with the joy, I understand that probably all of us would fall down before His Majesty. We would be so afraid. Those people that approached God hid their face. But will you and will I be glad to meet Him because of what He's done for me and how much did I do for Him? You remember that song, Only in Thee? And it graduates on and on and on. And finally, it says, all of Thee and none of me. Tonight, are you living and ready to give an account of your deeds, your words, your actions, and all the things that you have done should you die tonight? Accountability. We're living in a world and in a society of which you can do things and get away with it. I don't know if that's oversimplifying it or not. But many people in this life will never have to pay for what they did. But I want you to understand, and I hope and pray that I understand, that there is no negotiating at the day of judgment. I will meet God with everything that I did, and everything that's not wiped out by my confession, my repentance, and my prayer as a Christian. And if I haven't been baptized, if you haven't been baptized, you'll have to give an account. But it will be so short and so quick, everything will be over, that the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. More than that, the things that we will give an account of, by and large, brothers and sisters, will be those things that we really knew. We were not ignorant of them. And the best picture in words that we can understand that is to hear the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. And I think it'd be fitting that we read about verse from 31 through 46. It's always appropriate to read the scriptures in any sermon, for therein lies the truth of God. And the Lord wants us to know Him and to know what He says and to hear Him. And when we listen to Him, we must know exactly what He says. And it's a wonderful thing that God in His providence... Did you know now that men and women and boys and girls can read the Word of God in every country? Even the ones that do not want the Bible, even the ones that would stamp out the Bible, we've got these little gadgets, and those that can slip them in, you can get an entire Bible, the Word of God, and you can read it. So what does that say? That God has made it so easy for us to have an opportunity to know what we need to do so that we can go to heaven and be with Him. So that we can know that this life does not really offer us that much. Now I understand that we live, most of us have so many things. But there are millions of people that will never have a meal like you had today. And I know that. I've been in those places. And since we've been here, our host, Bob and Cookie, have treated us tremendously. And then there was Delmy, and then there was Corrine and Matt today that took us for dinner. And we ate and then had a little box and brought some home. Do you understand that millions of people do not know anything about something like that? They barely get enough, and they go away hungry and looking for what's going to happen the next day. But the Lord dealt with the simple things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. And thank you again for singing that song, "When He Come, the Lord Cometh." Turn in your Bibles. I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. And in some Bibles, it has a little line of topic. Now, it's not inspired, but it breaks the chapter and has judgment. This one has judgment of the Gentiles. So it sets the theme for the next verses. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left hand. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There is a judgment day coming, a day in which God will examine the way I lived and how I treated others. How I treated my family, how I treated my children, how I treated my friends, how I treated the folks I work with, how I treated my superiors, my supervisors, how I treated the person that asked me for a dollar on the street. I'm not saying give them a dollar, but if they say, Wendell, give me a dollar to buy some food, you know what? If they're serious, they'll take the time to go with you, or you can go with them and buy them some food. Don't turn them away. You don't know who you're turning away. So learn to help people. But more than that, the other night I was driving home, Stephen and I, we were in separate cars, but I was listening to a talk show hosted by someone here in Los Angeles. It was late at night. As some of you we've told, the place where I grew up, I had sold it, the people defaulted, and we were glad, Stephen was so glad to get it back, so we are renovating it. We've been doing that. So those of you that ask how I've been doing, I've been on the top of that house. I've been up close to the top painting. I've crawled in under it, and I don't know that there's any part of it that I haven't touched because we have completely renovated it. And I heard this talk show, and for some reason they were talking about talking. I guess that's logical to talk about talking on a talk show. And he made this statement. And he said, as we say, it hit me in the face like a ton of bricks. Now here's a talk show. And here's what he said hit him in the face. He said, I was listening to some preacher and he said that men shall give an account of every idle word they say. And he said, it totally got my attention. He didn't profess to be anything religiously. But the bottom line, as we sometimes say, is that there's coming a day when we need to make sure that all of those things that are not good, and those things that are ugly, and those things that are unkind, and those things that would displease our God, need to have a blot on them, blotted out, paid in full with a penitent heart and a confessing mouth and a turning to God and asking Him to forgive. Because He will. Every sin that we will confess, He will forgive as children of God. The day of judgment is often referred to that day several times. But concerning that day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son of Man, but the Father only. Matthew 24 and verse 36. I tell you, it'll be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that town, the cities that would not receive Jesus' teaching. He was speaking to the 70. Luke 10 and verse 12 from the English Standard. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. That's the judgment day. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 18. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who love his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Martha said to Jesus, when he came to raise Lazarus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So that day, the last day, the judgment day, all refer to the same period of time. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth fled and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. Judgment is a fixed day. If we could make a simple illustration, we're here. It's 3/4/2017. Out here, God fixed a day. In the times of this ignorance, God overlooked. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Thank you for your kind words regarding last night's lesson on the resurrection. Do you anticipate that great day when your body will be resurrected in completeness with an immortal body, for your spirit to live, if you're faithful to God, forever and ever with the Lord in eternity? So here's the significance of Paul's statement. The Lord has fixed a day. What's he going to do? He's going to judge all men everywhere. Now we'll find out that it's according to the deeds in our body. Now my question is, am I ready? I think about that. I'm standing here asking you to do what the Lord says. But I must look regularly. I must look daily. I must examine and I must pray, Lord, help me to do the right thing, so that when they see me, to the best of my ability, they will see what you want us to do and you want us to be. And Paul said there was a time that God overlooked the ignorance of humanity, because there was not the promised one at this time. They did not have the complete revelation. Job asked in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? Job anticipated and thought about it. Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac, but he had never seen, and he did not have the assurance that we have. What assurance do we have? We have the assurance that Jesus arose from the dead. We examined some of the evidence last night from the Scriptures and scholarly writers that are worth, maybe I shouldn't say this, but that are recognized as decent scholars, will tell you one of the easiest things to prove is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whether they believe it or not. If they were in a debate, it is easy to prove from several sources, not only from within the Bible, but from other sources, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth lived and died and was crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem some 30 AD, and that he arose from that grave they put him in that garden. And it can be proven. Now, Paul argues that the judgment day is coming, and it is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. Question: did Jesus arise? Yes. So since Jesus arose, what's going to happen? The judgment is coming. Now, we are here. And every day that we live, tomorrow will be the 5th of March. And Tuesday will be the 7th. A brother just younger than me, his birthday. And we could go on to, let's say, the 25th of December. Every day that we live, we come a little closer to that fixed day. It doesn't move forward. I'm getting closer to it. To do what? To give an account of the deeds done in my body. Let me just pause. I would not go further in this lesson if at any time in my life as God's child, a simple child, since May 18, 1952, when I obeyed the gospel, if I had just deliberately, or I had just allowed something that was unimportant and something other than being sick myself or attending someone sick, I would not continue until I repented of missing worship on the Lord's Day. Our buildings would be filled if we all assembled as God wants us to. Now, we will give an account of every Sunday. Only one Sunday that I was well did I miss. Because, you know, how often? Every week has 7 days. It has a Sunday. And I know that when Sunday comes around, when Doris, June 15, 1975, went to the hospital about 7 o'clock. We took Stephen over by the tailor's and left him. About 8 o'clock that night, Stephen was born. But I looked out at Burlingame Hospital, and I looked down the runway, San Francisco Airport, and I thought of the brethren meeting here. I must tell you that I thought seriously about asking, will she wait until I can go and worship God? No, I'm serious. Because God is going to hold me accountable. I didn't go and I didn't ask. And I understand when you're attending somebody sick, God knows that. Jesus recognized that there would be instances. But just laying out, folks, I'd be afraid. And I'll tell you something else. My contribution, it'll be where my home congregation is. Not because you could get along without it. You could. You might not miss it much. And the elders and the leadership might not ever say anything about it. But that has nothing to do with me giving account to God at that day. So that judgment day is fixed. And today I am closer than when we left Tupelo last Tuesday afternoon. And when we leave again, we'll be that much closer. And all these deeds that have piled up are they paid for with a confession and repentance. Everyone will be present at that day. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the tombs will hear his voice and they will come forth. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection, and the ESV says, to the resurrection of judgment. Why is God going to raise us and judge us? because we'll know why we are where we are. There is everyone who goes to hell goes by choice and not by chance. And it's very easy to get stuck on words that really don't mean. Sometimes often you'll hear people say, if you haven't had a chance to eat the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, then you can eat it Sunday night. Well, that's not by chance. The Lord didn't die by chance. He didn't tell us to come by chance. He said, be present on the Lord's Day. Now, there may be things that caused us with legitimacy that we were not able to be there on Sunday morning to have that opportunity to eat with our brothers and sisters. But Sunday night, that's fine. Everyone who goes to hell goes by choice and not by chance. God will not condemn one soul in that awful place by chance. That individual will know why exactly that he's there. And if you don't think so, you can read about what this lesson tomorrow night will be about in Luke 16. Now, don't do it now, but read about it and you come back and be with us. We'll talk about that man that went to that awful place and he knew why he was there. And he wanted out. But there will be no getting out. But that's another subject. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due in his body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. There are two things you will never be sorry that you did in this life. And there are plenty of things that somebody say, well, what if you could name things that you really regret doing? Most of us could do that, couldn't we? I have things that I regret deeply. But God forgave me of those wrong things. I still think about them. You will never regret obeying the gospel. You will never regret saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He will save me. I want to commit my life to Him. And I'm willing to go down into water. Can I explain why the Lord used getting wet in water to save you? No, that has nothing to do with it. God said, do it and I'll save you. That's all I need to know. Amen. Now, whether or not am I willing to do that? You'll never regret obeying the gospel. Number two, you will never regret living faithful. The Bible just makes that so beautifully clear. In another part of Matthew chapter 25, the Bible, Jesus speaks the parable. All of you know it. And at the end of the reward, He said, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Come and enjoy the joy of your Lord. When the Lord says, come, you're my son, and we've lived faithful, all the times that you made effort to do what the Lord said, you will never regret one minute of it. The greatest thing that I can remember, and I can remember it as of yesterday, even though it's been 64 years, I guess. I think it is. You can count it up. May the 18th, 1952 from today. I guess in May it'll be 65. And I was so excited because we didn't have preaching every Sunday. It was just Bible study. And nobody, they should have, nobody talked about, if you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we'll help you do that. But in the cotton patch, Mother had taught me, primarily she was the teacher, Daddy approved it, but she had taught me what to do to be saved. And they had taken us in a wagon to worship God and to worship God on Sunday and to go to gospel meetings. They went 14 nights in a row in the summertime. And we heard men preach and teach the word. When that man came that Sunday afternoon to preach, I couldn't wait when number 655 in these books was sung to step forward and obey the gospel. And the Lord has been so good to me. Have I had difficulties? Yes. I've had some valleys, and you'll have valleys. But I've been, by and large, on the hilltop. And some of it has to do with my attitude and our attitude toward what God said. Sing and be happy. We sing all of these songs. Do the will of God. The word judgment in the Bible is used of handing out a divine decision. Now think about that. The day of judgment. The word judgment, just the word judgment, according to Dr. Thayer, the Greek English lexicon, says it's a separating. And that's what Jesus said that he would do. But it's easy for us to think that there's going to be a long line. You know, like you go eat and they'll say, well, it'll be about 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Or, you know, if you're going to do something, get in this line over here to do this or to do that. That's not the way it's going to be. All of this will happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's all over. The resurrection, the judgment, the sentencing, and those will go into heaven and go into hell. But it's a time to deliver the decision. And the Lord will tell me, Wendell, you've been faithful. If I have, and I anticipate hearing the Lord say, well done. Because the Bible affirms, if we can't really understand and believe that we will be saved when we do what God says, our faith is not worth very much. There are assurances throughout the Bible that God says, I will save you. Read about God's men. They were not perfect. And God's women, they were not perfect. But they did, when they did what God said, He rewarded them as He said He would. And when they did not do what He said, He rewarded them with punishment like He said He would. Why are 66 books in the Bible and 39 of them dealing with how to deal with God? Why should we read the Old Testament? Find out how God deals with us. It's the decision making. Read about Joshua. Read about all the judges. Jesus will be the judge. Why will the Lord be our judge? Because He knows us. He lived on the earth. He suffered. He died. He was mocked. He was made fun of. Finally, they nailed Him to a cross. They humiliated Him. They did everything possible to a human being to torture them and then kill Him and crucify Him on the cross. And every one of those pains was for me and for you, because He loved us. And all He asked us to do is to do what I say. Is it too much to ask me to meet and eat the Lord's Supper with my brethren on the first day of the week? You can't meet out here under a shade tree with a friend and you can worship there just as good as you can. But that's not true. God did not intend for it to do that. We need one another. I need you and you need me. And so God said, meet together on the first day of the week. And I'll be there. Jesus will be that judge because He knows us. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, the Apostle John or Jesus said this, "For the Father judges no man, no one." That's interesting. Jesus said, the Father judges no one. but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus will be the one that will pronounce judgment. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, when Peter spoke at the household of Cornelius, he told them in that great sermon, he told them this. Acts 10 and verse 42. He commanded us to preach. Peter was talking about what Jesus had told them and commanded them to preach to the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. I've been fortunate to have only appeared on a witness stand twice in my young life. And I'm grateful to tell the truth, you know. And nearly every conversation in pre-hearing and discussion between attorneys and those that are going to testify, there's always this either insinuation or affirmation that I know this judge and he's a pretty good judge. Let me ask us, and I'm included, do we really know Jesus? And we sing a song. Do you know Him? We can. We have everything that we need to know about Him. God only wrote one book. And if you really work to read it, read more than one chapter, there are charts that where you can read the Bible in an entire year. And we can know Him. And that's what Peter told Cornelius. Cornelius was a good man. Cornelius wanted to do the right thing. And Peter says that God will, or Jesus, will be the judge of the living and the dead. And so Peter made it plain enough that Cornelius could understand. Cornelius was an intelligent man. He was a centurion. He was over other people. And so Peter said, Cornelius, Jesus is the judge of the dead. And Cornelius would have been familiar with people who had died. And he is judge of the living. And sometimes we read verses and just slide over them and hit them. At the judgment, all will give an account. Jesus said that every man shall give an account of every idle word that he speaks in the day of judgment. What about the good words that we speak? They will be rewarded with heaven. But we will be accountable. Did we do this or that? And it's an individual accountability. Do you recall in the Old Testament when Moses went before God and the people had sinned and Moses said, Lord, Jehovah God, blot me out of your book of life and your book of remembrance because this people has sinned grievously. And God said, Moses, I will blot those that sin out. Not you, Moses. Those that sin. I don't want to be blotted out. I don't want to see on my record. When those books are open and the book of life where each of our deeds are written. I don't want to be there and see the black stamp of my name marked out and know that I'm not going to make it. It's no wonder the Bible figuratively says men will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And there'll be no place to hide. That judgment day will separate everyone. In the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 is a familiar statement written by the Apostle Paul to the brethren at Rome in which he affirms to these brethren as, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Romans 14, verse 10. "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." I don't know, but maybe somewhere that man that said that hit me like a ton of bricks. Maybe he knew the rest of the story. That I'm going to have to bow down to God. And all the things that I've said on this talk show. And he virtually admitted that he'd said a lot of things that he probably shouldn't have said. But it will not be that trivial. This is serious. Make sure that all of them are blotted out in the day of judgment. We'll give an account. Now, to make it more at home and to draw it right to our lives, I want to close with this thought in the Old Testament. From the book of Ecclesiastes. In the Old Testament, Solomon, as far as wisdom of a human being, besides Christ, had more than any person ever on earth. But he went wrong. But he wrote this: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." The whole, some translations translate it perhaps better. "For God, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." Where are God's commandments, good folks? Right here they are. Did you know we have so much freedom that tonight each of us could go home and turn off the gadgets and turn off the cell phones and pick up this book and go to the book of Acts and within a couple of hours could give it a pretty good reading and find out what to do to be saved? Because at the judgment day, God is going to examine us whether or not we have done what He told us to do, what He commanded us to do. Not only that, but Solomon said, "For," why do we need to make sure we are going to keep everything God said? Because God will bring into judgment, to the judgment, my judgment, your judgment. We won't be worrying about who's standing about. "Well, they did it." You might as well forget that little expression. That won't ever happen at the judgment. You will be so petrified of what's going to happen to Wendell. You don't worry about anybody else. Did I keep what God said? And that'll be a time when you can rejoice, "Lord, when I lived on the earth, I did obey the gospel. I did do what you said to the best of my ability. I know I fell short, but I tried to teach others. I tried to tell them. I tried to worship you as you directed on the first day of every week." For God will bring every work into judgment. Everything I did will be flashed on the screen. In our part of the world, and I suspect now they were beginning to do it with all the electronics, almost any time a person passes, you go into the funeral home or a building, and there they have a beautiful screen with beautiful scenes, and many times they have soft, pleasant music. and they portray in pictures of the things that the deceased has done. The good things, the happy times, the grandchildren, the fun times, the vacations, and all of that. Nothing wrong with that. But this picture will include that and all the other things and all the secret things. For God will bring every secret thing into judgment, whether it is good or whether it is bad. And this hour, you can straighten up all those things. The blood of Jesus will wash away every sin. You name the sin, the Bible will tell you the condition. We'll give it to you. And you can be washed clean. When you go through the door, you would not have to worry if the Lord came. Are you ready for the Lord, if He should come tonight, to judge you the way that you've been living today? If you're not a Christian, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to be baptized for the remission of sins. You need to own and confess that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, that He loved you so much that He died for you, and that you're willing to commit your life first to Him, and He says, I will be with you always to the end of the world. Several years ago, a young lady said, if I'm baptized, we were sitting in the old Civic Center building downtown on Van Ness and Grove, right downtown. And she said that if I'm baptized tonight, my father will disinherit me. I said, will you make the decision? The Lord will take care of you. I said, you do what the Lord says. You give me His phone number and I'll call Him in Detroit. She made that right decision. She obeyed that gospel. She called her husband or her father, and he was glad that she did. So don't count your chickens before they hatch. Do what God says, and God says, I will be with you. I will help you get through it. And if you're a child of God and have been baptized and have not lived right, it only takes you from walking from back there, and if it's a sin that other people know that you've caused a problem about, it only takes the time for you to walk from back there up to here and tell us. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. And the Lord will forgive every sin you will confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there needs be no more. And you could have that forgiveness. You can be baptized in a moment, in just a minute or so, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, into Christ for the remission of sins so that you can go to heaven. So that when you stand before God, your deeds will be all right. He will have washed all of the evil things by His blood, and you will have been made whiter than snow. Though my sins be as crimson, He will make them white as snow. Are you prepared to meet God? Think about it. If you're not, why not let us know and help you? If you sin privately, and we do, you don't need to tell us. Tell God, and He'll forgive it. But if you caused other people to stumble, make it right now while together we stand and while we sing.